Let us come to the Lord in prayer. Almighty and ever-blessed God, we bow our hearts before Thee. We recognise that Thou art God, Thou art our Maker. Who is a God like unto Thee, worthy to be praised? And as we come before Thee tonight, we do so with all in our hearts, for Thou art so holy. They cry and say, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And we are humbled as we approach such a God as Thou art. Forgive us our many sins, even of this day, O Lord, sins of thought, word, and deed. Cleanse us afresh, Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we pray. We thank Thee, O Lord, for the opportunity to come and worship Thee in the evening hour of this Thy day. We thank Thee that we have the freedom to do so, and Thou hast put that desire within our hearts. We do pray that Thou would speak to us through Thy word. Help again in the pulpit, O Lord. Give strength and that help of the Holy Spirit, and bless us all as we hear Thy word. May we again listen to Thy word, and may the Holy Spirit apply it within our souls, and may we be found going the way of Thy word in this coming week. We thank Thee for our blessed Redeemer, who came into this world in order to save us. We thank Thee that He came that we might have life, and that more abundant. And we thank Thee He is now at Thy right hand in the glory. And we can say with Job, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And we can also look forward to that great and glorious day when He will come again and we shall see Him with eyes of flesh. Oh, what a day is coming. Oh, may we be mindful of it. May we be daily setting our affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. Even whilst we must consider certain things in our living, may we be heavenly minded. We thank Thee for Him who died for us and rose again. And may we think of Him tonight. May our acquaintance with Christ become a little closer tonight, we pray. Do bless this congregation meeting here in London. May Thy hand be upon them. Bless them and guide them. Be with them in the closing weeks of this year. We pray that Thou would go with them, if Thou dost spare, into a new year. That Thou would go before them and bless them. Encourage them through Thy word. Encourage them weekly through Thy presence, we pray. And lead them and guide them in this coming year. We do pray for all the brethren gathered in this place. We do pray that Thou would meet the needs of Thy people. Thou knowest, O Lord. We can say with Hagar of old, Thou, God, seest me. And we thank Thee that Thou dost see. And Thou dost come to our aid. Thou dost provide us with Thy grace. And in time Thou dost deliver. Go with Thy people then. Meet them where they are. Those who are sick and laid aside, those who face perplexing circumstances, oh, undertake for them, we pray. May they flee to Thee, Thou who art the rock, higher than they are. Oh, be with Thy people, hear them. We do pray that Thou wouldst add to their numbers, that Thou wouldst strengthen the work here. We do pray for Thy servant coming from Singapore, that Thou would make all things plain and make his way smooth, we pray. And bless minister and people next year, O gracious God, in this place. We do pray that Thou would add to the work here, bringing other godly men and women. And we do pray that many would be saved from this community. Oh, that hearts would be touched as the gospel goes forth, that many would be drawn to Christ, from the young and from the old. We do pray that many would have their hearts touched, that they would flee to Christ, flee for refuge, we pray. We do pray for the young ones gathered here in the fellowship. Be with them. May they hear early Thy voice speaking unto them. And we pray for young ones outside these walls, in the streets, in the neighbourhood. We pray that much might be done amongst them and many may find their way into this place, that many young ones would hear thy word whilst they are young, we pray. Remember our needy nation, O Lord. We pray for our Prime Minister, not far away from this place, for the Queen and the Royal Family. May they look to thee. May they look to thee in sincerity. May they cry out for mercy, we pray. How far this nation has changed for the worse over recent years. May those who are in authority look to thee for mercy. Give us leaders who truly love thee, not leaders that just give thee lip service, but leaders who love thee in their hearts, we pray. We do thank thee for many being saved in other parts of the world. We thank thee for increase in parts of China and Africa. We bless thee for these things. Do be with the persecuted church, our brethren so suffering for the cause of Christ. Lord, we so often take our freedom, our liberty for granted. We would remember tonight those that are in bonds. We pray for them, those we know of, and those whose names are not known to us, but known unto thee. We commit them to thee this night, we pray. Bless the increase of the church. May many Jews be saved. May many Gentiles further be saved in this world. May there be great blessing. May many turn to the Lord in these days. Look favorably upon us. Go with us this week. Help us in the places we find ourselves in. Help us in our own homes, in those times of family worship. May we know much preciousness in fellowshipping with thee. Speak to us through thy word, day by day. Draw near to us in the morning and in the evening. Be with those in the places of employment. Undertake for them, those needing employment. Oh, provide for them, we pray. For those who look after children, for the mothers here, that thou would be with them and undertake for them in all the hours they have with the responsibility of the little ones. Oh, bless them, we pray, and the fathers as well. May they know encouragement, O Lord. Be with those who are in the latter days of their life. Oh, may they know help and strength. May they know that peace, even like Simeon of old, that peace within their soul, that peace that comes from Christ, not as the world giveth, but all that lasting peace. So we come to thee. We would confess our sins again. Forgive us, O Lord. Help us in our walk with thee, to walk closer to Jesus. Help us to be growing. Help us to be maturing. Help us to be loving Christ the more. O, hear our prayers then. Blessed be thy glorious name. Hear us, O Lord, this night. Bless all who worship thee in the evening hour of this day. We join in with so many around this world, and so many in heaven, praising thee, O God, and praising the Lamb. Hear us, we ask these prayers, in the name of our Saviour, and for his sake. Amen. If you would turn with me tonight to those words we heard read, Job 19 and verse 25. Job 19 and verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. It has been a blessing to come here today and meet with you. I am very thankful for your hospitality and your kindness and your fellowship. It is a joy and a privilege to be here. Again, I send the greetings of Cross Lanes Chapel in the New Forest. If you're ever coming down our way on holiday or visiting, be assured of a warm welcome there in the New Forest. May the Lord continue to bless you as you, the Lord spares, go into a new year. May he greatly encourage you with his presence. How valuable and precious that is, the presence of the Lord. And may the Lord encourage you in other ways. Well, our text tonight is Job 19 and verse 25. Job 19 and verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Dear congregation in heaven tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ sits upon the throne. He is there clothed with majesty, and he is clothed with glory. And he wears that crown of purest gold, as we see in Psalm 21. Such praise is being offered unto him. In Revelation 5 and verse 12 we read, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Worthy is the Lamb. Consider him tonight. He is there in the glory. And such praise is being offered. Consider, he is there alive in glory above. Oh, dear congregation, what a privilege I find it is to say with Job, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." In Job's trial, here he pauses and he looks up and he considers the Lord. Dear brethren, in our journey, on this the Lord's day, while we pause, oh, look up, consider the Lord, that he is alive in glory. What a blessing to begin this week by being able to say, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Do you know him? Do you have a saving knowledge of Christ? Now let's just briefly notice the context of this chapter and the words we find therein. Following on from the 18th chapter, in which Bildad had spoken unto Job. Job here in this chapter begins by complaining of the cruelty of his friends. He was already suffering an affliction. They were adding to his difficulties. Well, making known his great misery, he calls for pity to be shown towards him. In verse 21 we read, "Have pity upon me, have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me." He asked for pity. He was suffering so much. However, then he turns from his misery, breaking off his complaint. And being lifted up, he expresses his faith in his Redeemer, whom one day he knows he will see. He will see with his own eyes, having a firm belief in the future resurrection. Now this is amazing. This man Job, who lived hundreds and hundreds of years ago, here in his difficulty, looks up and looks to a future day, the great day, the last day, and believes in a future resurrection and in seeing Jesus. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Listen to Spurgeon. "For I know," what a splendid burst of confidence this is, right out to the depth of his sorrow. Like some wondrous star that suddenly blazes upon the brow of the blackest night, or like the sudden rising of the morning sun. He's so taken up. He's so encouraged in the Lord. Note how he introduces these words back in verse 23. As it were, it's the preface to what he's about to say in verse 25 forward. "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever." He desires that what he is about to say be left as a memorial for all to see and for future generations. Well, here it is for us. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Oh, what strong faith he had in the Son of God. What a firm belief he had in a future resurrection, of seeing the Lord with his own eyes, and a future happiness. Have you this testimony? You may be in some straits at the moment, some difficulty, as we considered this morning. You're wandering through the veil of affliction, and you're restless in your mind. But oh, can you look up and have you this hope of Christ and a future glorious day, and of a future bliss with him? Now, there is a lot here in these verses, and we have not the time, but I'd like us to consider, for the remainder of our time tonight, four brief things. Firstly, the living Redeemer, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Secondly, in union with Christ. Note these words, for I know that my Redeemer. It's one thing to be able to say these words, but what a blessing to know the Redeemer and to be able to say these words having love towards him in the heart. Thirdly, a knowledge of Christ. Job knew certain things about the Lord. And then fourthly, seeing Jesus. Firstly, the living Redeemer. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. My Redeemer, my kinsman Redeemer, Goel, Deliverer. Dear brethren, Christ was Job's Redeemer. He is our Redeemer, for redemption is in and through him. The Apostle Paul, writing in Ephesians 1 and verse 7, wrote, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We think of redemption through his blood. He's the Redeemer. Now consider this further, that it is proved to be so by looking at this testimony here with what the Apostle Paul wrote in his third epistle to the Philippians. Note these words here, verse 26, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 we read, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. You know, there's a looking for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's a changing of the body. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. And then there's another text in the New Testament that sheds light on this to show that Job is considering the Lord. 1 John 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he should appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, consider him. It's the Lord, the Redeemer, our precious Saviour. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Now Christ came, as many will be considering over these next few days and weeks, in order to save, in order to accomplish redemption. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15 we read, this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He came, as the apostle said, to save sinners, to accomplish redemption. He met the condition of life through his obedience. Briefly, he kept the law perfectly, but he also faced the penalty of the law, as the law had been broken by mankind. He suffered and died upon the cross. He died a substitute in the place of his people. But through his obedience, he accomplished redemption. And as a result, there is the application of redemption. You recall those words in 1 Peter 1, verse 18 to 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We read there of being redeemed. It's the application. He came to accomplish redemption. He's the Redeemer. And there is the application of redemption. He accomplished, and then through his Spirit, there is the application of redemption. Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now we think there of the forgiveness of sins. As a result of what Christ the Redeemer did, there is pardon, but then also every part of redemption. From effectual calling to the redemption of the body, Romans 8 verse 23. See here, Job is looking to that time when there will be the redemption of the body. From effectual calling to the redemption of the body, it will be known because of Christ who came to redeem. Oh, what a redeemer he is. I know that my redeemer liveth. His redeemer, his deliverer. In 1 Peter 2 verse 7 we read, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. As you consider the Redeemer tonight, is he precious to your soul? Do you so love him? Then notice what Job says here. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Just pause and reflect. He's there in the glory. So many despise him here upon earth. So many in London will have nothing to do with the gospel. But he's there in the glory. He's alive there. Dear congregation, he is the living Redeemer. Death could not keep him. Oh, what a comfort that is, dear brethren. Death could not keep him. God raised him up. Consider also he himself arose by his own power, for he is God. John 10 verse 18, Romans 1 verse 4. He is alive. He is there in the glory tonight. He's there, the congregation. And at this very moment, he has his eye on your soul. You young ones, he's watching you. What are you saying to him? He's alive there in the glory. What are you saying to him? Can you say with the psalmist, I love the Lord. I love thee. Is that what you're saying? I believe in thee, Lord Jesus. Can you say this with Job? For I know that my Redeemer liveth. He lives. He's mine. He lives in heaven. And he lives in your my heart. Precious words in Galatians 2 verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ liveth in me. Look up, he's there. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he lives within my heart. Is that your testimony? You're an acquaintance with Christ? Now before we move on to our second point tonight, take comfort, dear brethren. Your faith is not in vain, because your Redeemer lives. Remember how the Apostle Paul reasons with the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. Our faith is not in vain. Many will laugh at you for being a Christian, dear beloved friend tonight. But your faith is not in vain. So many say, well, look at the empty congregations. Look at how few go to church in this country. Our blessed Redeemer is alive in the glory, and our faith is not in vain. He is alive, dear brethren, and one day you will see him. At death, you will see him. Remember Stephen, what a vision he was given to encourage him in his dying hour, but also to give him a foretaste of the one he would see when he died, the precious Redeemer. He saw Jesus standing in heaven. At death you will see him with the eyes of your soul, but then also on that great day with eyes of flesh. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job knew that his Redeemer lived, and one day he would see him. What a comfort that is. If you're a Christian here tonight, be encouraged. He's alive, and you're going to see him. Secondly tonight, in union with Christ. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Dear friends, what a blessing to belong to someone. What a blessing to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many do not know it, but here's the believer's testimony. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. To know Jesus. Many over these next few days and weeks will speak of the Lord. Many will think of him. What do you think of Christ? Every week I used to consider this question, because over the pulpit at the church I used to attend as a boy were these words, "What think ye of Christ?" Matthew 22 and verse 42. And it used to come to me, "What think ye of Christ?" But you know, so often I didn't really consider those words. What do you think of him? Are you an acquaintance with him? Is he your Redeemer? For I know that my Redeemer liveth. He's mine. Lovely words in the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon 2 verse 16. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He's mine. How amazing that is. My beloved, the loved one, is mine, and he's my beloved. And I am his, he belongs to me, and I belong to him. What a privilege. There's union. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Job speaks of one he knew. Job speaks of one he is an acquaintance with. My beloved is mine, and I am his, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Let's just briefly consider this union. Job was in union with Christ. Firstly, it is a real spiritual union. Job here is exercising faith. He's considering the Lord, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. My beloved is mine, and I am his. There's no question for the believer. At times Satan may whisper. When I was a young man, often Satan would whisper, "You really a Christian?" And Satan may whisper, "It's not true," but it's a real union. It's a spiritual union. Christ liveth in me, says the apostle in Galatians 2 verse 20. He lives in my soul, in my heart. Secondly, it is a loving union. There's real love for Christ, and there's Christ's love for the believer. And when you think of the love of Christ, it so surpasses the love of the believer towards Christ. What love to me in eternity. What love to me whilst he was here upon earth, even in the manger at Bethlehem. What love to me whilst he walked up and down the land of Israel. What love to me whilst he was weary by the well of Samaria. What love to me whilst he suffered there in the Garden of Gethsemane. What love to me whilst he was being tried before Herod and Pilate. What love to me as he was nailed to the cross. What love to me as he cried out in agony on the cross. What love when he rose again. What love to me when he ascended. What love to me in the time of love when he drew near. You think of the shepherd in Luke 15, which represents and speaks of Christ, who is the shepherd. He went after the sheep until he found it. And he went after us, dear brethren, and he drew near in that time of love. What love towards us. And how he loves me now. What love. How he cares for me. What a loving union it is, particularly considering Christ. If you're in union with Christ, oh, love him the more. Seek to know him more. Have a closer acquaintance with him. Tell him more often how much you love him. When did you last tell Jesus that you loved him? When was it? You quietly sat down. Or you were listening to a sermon or singing and you just quietly said, I love thee, Lord Jesus. It's a loving union. Oh, what love towards the believer, the church. We who love the Lord, oh, we are to love him, to exercise love towards him. And that includes telling him that we love him. A child tells their parent that they love them. Are you telling Jesus that you love him? So secondly, a loving union. Thirdly, a lasting union. Think of Job here. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. My Redeemer. And Job's looking forward beyond death. His own death. Beyond the incarnation of Christ. Beyond the sufferings of Christ. Beyond the resurrection of Christ. Job's looking to the very last day, the future day. That day on which there is the future resurrection. There's no interval in Job's mind. He knows that his Redeemer is his forever. When we think of a marriage, it's till death do us part. However, when we think of this union with Christ, it goes far beyond death. We belong to him and he belongs to us forever. He will be my Redeemer in life. He will be my Redeemer in death. In heaven and on that great day and in that world to come. He will be my Redeemer in life. He will help me. He will be my Redeemer in death. He will bring me home. He will be my Redeemer on that great day and he will defend me. He will be my Redeemer forever. Mine forever. And I will be with him forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Young ones, you speak of belonging to someone. And you speak of certain ones, maybe my grandmother, my grandfather, my mother, my father. They're mine. You may point out, but that's my daddy. That's my mother. They're mine. You brothers and sisters here, you may get cross with your brothers and sisters, but they belong to you and you love them. They can annoy you at times, but you love them. You can say with affection, my brother, my sister. How precious it is to say of Jesus, he is mine. Can you all say that tonight? Can you all say with Job, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, he's there. Is he also in your heart? Has Christ touched your soul? Are you in union with Christ? Oh, dear brethren, I do not deserve him. But what a privilege that he is mine. I'm so thankful to be able to say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I do not deserve him, but he's mine. Union with Christ. Thirdly, a knowledge of Christ. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Job had a knowledge of Christ. Let's just note briefly one or two things here from the text. Firstly, he knew that God the Son lived, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Secondly, he knew that Christ was his, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. That's a wonderful thing to know about Christ, isn't it? We've already mentioned it, to know that Christ is ours. Thirdly, he knew that Christ was his Redeemer, his Deliverer, his Saviour. Many will think of Christ who came into the world, and they may think that he came and he gave his life upon the cross. What a blessing to know that Christ is my Redeemer. He died for me. Fourthly, he knew that Christ at the last day would appear. And though after my skin destroy, worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. And it's all connected with the last day, verse 25, and that he shall stand at the latter day, the last of days, upon the earth. Fifthly, we've already mentioned it, he would see the Lord. And he would see the Lord with delight. In my flesh shall I see God. We see God through Christ on that day. He had a knowledge of Christ. Let me ask you, do you have this knowledge of Christ? You know he lives. He lives also within your heart, that he's your Redeemer, that you're going to see him and you're going to be with him forevermore. Job had this knowledge of Christ. This knowledge had been given to him, put within his heart. Now some may have what is called, or has been commonly called, a floating knowledge of him in the head. A common knowledge. James Susser writes, a floating knowledge of him in the head. Many people know certain things about the Lord. They know that he was born at Bethlehem. He was born of the Virgin Mary. That he lived in Nazareth. He performed many miracles. Fed the 5,000, healed the sick, raised up those that were dead, and so on. They know that he met in the upper room of his disciples, that he was found in the Garden of Gethsemane, that he died on the cross, and on the third day he rose from the grave. Many have this common knowledge. Now the child of God knows these things. However, there's something more, isn't there? There's a knowledge in the heart. There's an acquaintance with Christ. They know that their precious Redeemer came. They know that their precious Redeemer died for them. They have this saving knowledge of him. They know certain things and they know it to be true in their heart. Listen to Job. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. He's speaking from the heart. Some just speak from their heads. They have just the common knowledge. But Job, though he had this knowledge in his head, he also had this knowledge in his heart. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. He knew, for he was in acquaintance with Christ. Can you speak from your heart tonight? When you read these words, can you speak in from your heart? For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Is your heart moved? You're looking to Christ by way of faith. And you know you're going to see him. You know you're going to be blessed with Christ forever. I know that my Redeemer liveth. If you can't say these things, I beg you to turn to Jesus Christ. Pray for a heart to know him. Look to him by way of faith. Trust him. He who came into the world to save sinners. A knowledge of Christ. Think of him. He's in the glory tonight. Do you know him? Do you know certain things about him? in your heart, because you're an acquaintance of Christ. You've known of his love. You've known of his shepherding of your soul. You've known of his compassion. You've known of his leading and guiding. You've known of his tender love. You've known of his chastising hand. Have you a knowledge of Christ? For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Well, as we draw to a close, fourthly and finally, seeing Jesus, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Job here had this assured hope of one day seeing the Lord. He had a firm belief in a future resurrection. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job was looking to the Lord by way of faith now, and he had a firm belief of seeing Jesus on that great day. He looks beyond death on this occasion. Now, when death comes, there is separation. The soul and the body separate. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, we read, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." In the first half of that verse, the apostle speaks of the body as being our earthly house of this tabernacle. Death comes. There's a dissolving. Listen to the Reverend John Brown of Harrington. He was a Scottish minister a number of years ago. Speaking of the body, "A house to dwell in, the body to the soul." But one day there will be a dissolving. He speaks of the earthly house and it being dissolved, to loosen down, to demolish. You think of a tent, it's taken down, or a house, it's demolished. John Gill writes, "Unpinned and taken down." Why? Because there's been a separation, the separation of the body and the soul. Simply, the body has ceased to be a dwelling place for the soul at the present time. For the unbeliever, their soul will be taken to hell. What a solemn thought. What a solemn thought. Will there be those in London tonight who will then die and be consumed with terrors because they did not believe in the Redeemer? How many? I trust no one here leaves this world not knowing Jesus. The unbeliever, their soul will be taken to hell. For the believer, their soul will be taken immediately to heaven. And the believer will see Jesus. That's plain in Acts 7. Stephen, as mentioned earlier, was given that vision to encourage him in his dying hour and to give him a foretaste that he would see Jesus standing there in glory. With the eyes of the soul, the eyes of the mind, we will see Jesus. We thought earlier that loving union and our love to Christ, or a death, dear beloved believer, brethren. Your heart will be further melted with the love of Christ when you see Jesus with the eyes of your soul. In our graveyard at Ibsley, we have a graveyard. I know a number of believers who once lived and attended our church, but now they're in glory, seeing Jesus. We think of the intermediate state. Our souls will be with the Lord in heaven above, and we will see Jesus. On that great day, there will be the resurrection. We will all see the judge. For the unbeliever, it will be a fearful resurrection. Their soul will be brought from hell. And their soul being united again to their body, they will stand before the judge. What a fearful day, and then a fearful eternity. But for the believer, we can look forward with delight. Not so for the unbeliever, but for the believer, we can look forward with delight. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. He's going to see the Lord, dear brethren. We're going to see the Lord. And unlike for the unbeliever, it will be with delight, and we shall be satisfied. Psalm 17, verse 15. Listen to the testimony of the psalmist. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. You see, the psalmist, along with Job, had a faith in the Lord. And he, along with Job, was looking forward to that great day of resurrection and seeing Jesus. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Remember those words in 1 John 3, verse 2? Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? Philippians 3, verse 21. As for me, says the psalmist, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. We will see the Lord in heaven. But there is reference to the awakening of the body, and the body being reunited to the soul, and seeing Jesus with our own eyes of flesh on that great day. Our bodies will be gloriously changed, totally fitted for eternal life. And I will be satisfied. The word satisfied means filled to satisfaction. I have never been disappointed in Christ. I will not be disappointed in heaven. And I will not be disappointed on that great day. Listen to the testimony of the psalmist. In viewing Christ on that resurrection morn, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. He's thinking of the Lord. Charles Wesley, on his deathbed, said this: I shall be satisfied, satisfied. O my dearest Jesus, I come. I will not be disappointed when with mine own eyes I will see God. I will see Christ. What a hope Job has. It is your hope. As this year draws to an end, is it your hope? You're going to see the Lord. You're going to be with him forever. You're going to be, for every moment of eternity, gazing at Christ, delighting in Christ, being filled to satisfaction. You'll be filled to satisfaction, but you'll want more because you'll be so consumed with his love and his mercy and his all lovely face. Have you this hope? As we thought this morning, we're only sojourners. We're only here for a while. Eternity awaits. If you're a believer, what bliss awaits you? You will see the judge on that great day, the Lord Jesus. But you will gaze with great delight on his all-lovely face. And you will gaze on it for all eternity. I will forever be with him. And I will forever rejoice in him. I will forever be taken with Jesus. Remember those words of Anne Cousin? Thinking of Samuel Rutherford's last words, I shall not gaze at glory, but on my beloved's face. That's it, dear brethren. Christ is the end of the journey when we get to heaven. And he will be there on that great day. and we will forever gaze on his beloved face. Ah, to be there! Oh, to see him! Are you living in expectation? Are you living longing to see Jesus? It's only a little while till death compared to eternity. It's only a little while till that day, great day. Make sure you've looked to him by way of faith, that you've repented of your sins. For then you with joy will behold his face. You this week, in all your duties, you mothers, as you look out to the children, you men, as you go about your work, be mindful of that great day when you will see Jesus. Live for it. Be heavenly minded like Job was. What a privilege that you know him. Think more often of him. When someone has love in their heart, maybe a young man towards a woman, they think often. You've love in your heart, think often of Christ. Think of seeing him. Live for that day when you will see him. And thank your blessed Redeemer that he came into the world to save such a sinner as you. If you're a believer here tonight, you have a wonderful future after this veil of tears. Look up. Remember Christ. And for anywhere Christ, oh, look to him that your eternity might be wonderful as well. Look to him quickly. For here's his testimony. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. He knew it. He knew that Christ was in glory, the Son of God. And he also knew that he was in his heart. As I end this sermon, look up, consider Christ. And can you look within? He lives within my heart as well. May the Lord bless his word. Amen.